Well, good morning. Here we are. November, yes. November. What is it? 14th? 17th? 18th? 10th? Oh, that's close. Yeah. Oh, yeah, I see the title of the lesson is November 10th, Jesus Claims. Yeah, so we have those things. Or so slow.
Yeah.
Well, this morning we are on the title of the lesson, Jesus' Claim of Divine Sonship. The lesson begins, talks about in the Old Testament, about the Old Testament reveals the holiness, the power, and the goodness of God. Although it was relevant to the needs of the people, that revelation was partial, but Christ has completed. So whenever we are thinking of what was foretold in the Old Testament is accomplished in the New, meaning that it was speaking of the promises of God and how that God would take them to the promised land. Well, he did all of that, but in the same process, he was God was teaching them. Teaching them about his holiness, about the sacrifices and things, and how they, to their sins and remission of their sins or the covering of their sins. Well, we know that Christ came and he came to fulfill that. So whenever we now look at Christ, we know that he is the fulfillment, that Christ was the very word of God, and he is the full expression of God. So whenever we have Christ in our heart and life, whenever we're reading the scriptures, and when Jesus says, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father. So, meaning that he is the full expression of God, that there is no other revelation of God other than me. I am the revelation of God because I am God. I am God made flesh and dwelt among you. I am the Word made flesh. So, John said, the only begotten Son who is in the bosom of the Father, he has declared him. And also, Philip says, Jesus said to Philip, he who has seen me has seen the Father. So all of these things indicate who Christ is. And some of the thing, and now this would be a good place for us to kind of jump in and say, well, when Jesus says, you are in me and I am in the Father, so, and that we are one. So whenever we have Christ in our life, we are in Christ, but Christ is in the Father. So we then are joint heirs with Christ. We are one with Christ because he is in us. And whenever we can, if we can put that all together in a in our understanding that Christ in me is the hope of glory, that the if the Spirit of Christ, if the same Spirit that raised Christ from the dead dwell in us, he shall quicken your mortal body. So we're beginning to see how that oneness that we have with God and oneness that we have with Christ is our life here and now and for eternity. So it's important that, as we see the promises of the Old Testament, they are fulfilled in Christ, and they are also fulfilled in us because we are in Christ. All right. So the Old Testament, the prophets revealed the will of God. Their authority was received, the message they received from God and proclaimed. So the authority rested in the message, okay? It was often said, in the Old Testament, thus saith the Lord. So it was this authority that rested in the message is the authority that they had. Well, Christ spoke then about himself. And one of the things is that we notice in the New Testament where it says he's different because he speaks as one having authority. So he is the authority. The message of the Old Testament was the authority rested in the message when the message was received from God. Now the authority is in Christ, and he is the Word of God. He is the Word of God. He is God made flesh and dwelt among us. So when we have Christ in our heart, we have the authority of the Word, the authority of Jesus Christ, resting in our life when we proclaim in his Word in our life and over our life. So whenever we, you know, it's important that we see that the authority we have as a believer isn't in us, it's in Christ. And in Christ, okay, the message that we have is his Word spoken to us, then spoken through us to our life and to our life situation. Amen. Thank you. It's very important. So, as Christ spoke, it was God speaking. All right? As he acted, it was God acting. Unlike the prophets, he never introduced his message with, "Thus saith the Lord." He pointed to himself and summoned people to trust in him. No one but Christ could say, "All things have been delivered to me by my Father, and no one knows the Son except the Father. Nor does anyone know the Father except the Son, and the one to whom the Son wills to reveal him." So, whenever we are looking at this scripture, we're seeing that God is revealing the Father to us. That God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit are abiding within our life, and we are learning the Word of God, and the Word of God becomes the foundation for our life. And whenever we are praying and speaking the Word of God over our life, through our life, we have the authority of the Word. We have the authority of Christ because he is the Word. So it's like Jesus whispering in our ear saying, you know, "Thus saith the Lord, thus saith me." And this is the Word that I'm giving you. And in the message today, one of the primary point is practicing the presence of God. Okay? Brother Lawrence was a monk, the 16th, 18th century, and he wrote that book on it. So anyhow, so whenever we are looking, I won't give you the whole message, but a little teaser there. But whenever we have the Word of God and we are believing for the Word and, you know, believing the Word spoken in our heart. Now, it isn't like our belief is separated from the Word. The Word creates our belief. So sometimes we think of that I have to believe the word that I speak, okay? Well, where does faith come from? Faith comes from hearing the word. So when we hear the word in our minds and hearts, when we read the scriptures and we have that word spoken to us, faith comes by hearing that word spoken to us, and so we then believe enough to quote that word for our life. So we're not searching somewhere for belief. We're listening to the word. We're listening to the text that's been spoken to us. I am the way, the truth, and the life. You know, Jesus says, "I'm the resurrection and the life." And he said that to Mary and Martha. And whoever lives and believes and will never die. Do you believe that, Martha? Do you believe that, Mary? See? So the word spoken was to create the belief. So this word spoken by the Holy Spirit to our life is to create the belief for our life. So we're not having to search for it, I don't have enough faith. Well, then read the word. Well, I don't know enough of the word. Well, then read portions of the word. Read the lesson, read the text, read the devotional, read those things and allow the word to develop in your life, because without the word, we are subject to only our feelings and our interpretation of life. So, in the days of his flesh, Christ made known this he did by teaching his holy life and his works, and Christ revealed God's love which he gives to the utmost to save sinners. So in the days of his flesh, meaning when he was here on earth, Christ made God known. All right? So whenever we are praying, whenever we are reading the scripture, and we're reading the Gospels, Jesus is making God known to us. Okay? So what do you know of God? Well, the Holy Spirit is teaching us what we need to know of God. God is making himself known to us, and he is the teacher. He is the schoolmaster. He is the revealer of truth. So it is God who is revealing this truth to us, and it isn't us coming up with an interpretation. It is the Holy Spirit revealing to us the interpretation. Christ, in the lesson, is talking about Christ is the perfect revelation. Christ is the presence of God. So Christ is the perfect revelation. Christ is the presence of God, practicing the presence of God, making ourselves aware that Jesus is with us. So making ourselves aware, because what we're doing is, when am I ever without God? Never. Where can I go that God is not? Nowhere. So practicing the presence of God is making ourselves aware that God is already there. I just didn't pay attention. You know, you're driving down the road and there's a deer in the middle of the road. You need to be aware that there is the presence of a deer in your near future. If the deer don't move and you pretend the deer's not there, your awareness of the deer is going to change. That was a divine truth. So Jesus, then, he's more than a prophet, for only God can fully reveal God. So when we're thinking, just to try and grasp what we've just said in these verses, is that God reveals God. Jesus Christ is the Word made flesh. He is God incarnate, become human. God incarnate became like us, so that we could become like him, that his word in us is life, and it is faith, and it is whenever we say, well, I wish Jesus were here and he could calm the storm. Jesus is here. I wish Jesus was here, he could multiply this. Jesus is here. Whenever I pray that Jesus would touch my relative, well, Jesus, would you, like the guy says, Jesus, would you come and heal my servant? And he goes. And the other one says, Jesus, just speak the word and my servant will be healed. You see, he is all, Jesus, just speak the word. Amen. Verse 31. Now, this text is just a short way up the road from last week's lesson. And Jesus is here talking to the religious leaders. They were outraged because he had healed the paralytic on the Sabbath. Remember, he's pick up your bed and walk, that guy. Okay, they're all upset because Jesus has done this, and they're trying to stone him, all right? They sought all the more to kill him because he not only broke the Sabbath, but he also said that God was his Father, making himself equal with God. All right. Then we have verse 31. If I bear witness, so he is, he's declaring to himself that he is one with the Father. Okay. And then he says, if I bear witness of myself, my witness is not true. Okay, and you have to have somebody read this from another version. Do you have it, dear? You don't? You're a deer in a headlight? Somebody else have a version? 31?
Message
is good. You have one?
Yeah.
What's that?
No.
Oh. So anyhow, if I bear... Okay, it's all right. We can come back to it. That's
okay.
Okay, if I were only speaking on my account, it would be a self-serving witness. So whenever we are, and this fits in with our practicing the presence of God, Jesus he had set aside his divinity. So now he is in touch with the Father. You know, I only do what the Father tells me. All right, whenever we are believing that God is with us, we're listening to and wanting the presence of God. We want God to speak to us. We want God to help us to have that wisdom or that word of knowledge or that insight or that security or whatever it is that we have need of. We don't have to stop and say, I need wisdom here, God. We already have that prayer in our heart because God is already there. So we're doing our life and living our life, and we are believing then that God, the witness that we are, that God is here. I'm not bearing witness that I'm a wonderful person. I am witnessing that I am here by the grace of God, and the presence of God is in my life, and therefore what I do, I pray to be the true revelation of God. All right? Well, are we going to be perfect? No. Are we going to make mistakes? Yes. Are we going to be 100% sure every time that we're doing exactly what? No. You know, it isn't that kind of witness. I remember there was groups back whenever in the 70s, you know, they were, they would go out the door and they'd, God, which way should I go? Should I go left or right? And I go to the right. When I come to the T, which way should I go? Should I go left or right? You know, it's no. You know, what tie should I wear today? You know, God told me to wear this tie. It doesn't match, but that's all right. God told me to wear it. You know, it's like, you can't live that way. But what we are doing, though, is practicing the understanding that God is with us. He is with me. You know, make a decision. And if it's the wrong one, you'll know. But often, like we were going to the funeral, on Monday, I guess that was. That was a long time ago. Yeah, we come up Tuesday. Cemetery, Beaver Falls. All right, Tuesday. And we're going over to Beaver Falls to the cemetery. And, of course, we get there an hour early, but it's so far back in the boonies that, you know, even the GPS got lost. So, but anyhow, we got there, and, you know, I wanted to find the place and then go to the bathroom, you know. So we go to the cemetery, and it's way in the back of nowhere. And so one person arrived when we did. We were an hour early. And so we said, well, where's the gas station? Where you go out here and hang a left. Okay, so we go out there and we hang a right. And an hour later, we make it back to the to the cemetery. Now, I got to the road, and it was like, do I go left or right? I think he said left. GPS says right. Let's go with the right. That must be the right. It was wrong. So, there is a better way, yes. But, oh no, we weren't the last one. We showed up right about 5 minutes to whatever time the funeral was, one. And, you know, lots of people weren't there yet. So, we waited till about 20 after or 1:30 before we actually started the service. But, anyhow, the idea is, are we always going to make that? But inside our heads and inside our conscience, sometimes we know it's like, you should go left. No, GPS says go right. You know, I'm not listening to that voice in me that's wrong all the time. No, we need to pay attention to that voice and listen to that unction, and we'll find out, is it God, is it self, or is it the GPS? So, you know, but there is an awareness. And that's what Jesus is saying, that his awareness and who he is and what he is saying and what he is speaking isn't just, I didn't come here to tell you that I'm it. I've come here to tell you that all of the Old Testament prophets saw me before you guys did. And that I am here to fulfill the will of the Father, and the will of the Father is to make known his will to you. Verse 32 through, this jumps all over. 32, 37, and 38. Someone, you want to read that, dear? Is it in there?
36, okay. You don't want 36. Okay, 37. I'm not sure. It says all my numbers.
Well, start from, yeah, go ahead, 34 to 38. So, these verses are saying that, well, Jesus is saying here to them, you know, I've come not to bear witness of myself, but my Father bears witness of me, okay? I bear witness to the Father. And there is another that bears witness to me that I know not, I know that the witness which he witnessed of me is true, meaning John the Baptist, okay? Then we go, and the Father himself, verse 37, and the Father himself which hath sent me hath borne witness of me. So Jesus is telling them, you guys, the Father in heaven has identified me as the correct one. Now, I think in our own life, the Father, God the Father, has identified the truth. Okay? Identified the truth in us, and we are so blessed. We are so privileged. You know, we were everywhere this week, you know. We were in Washington, D.C. yesterday. And you know, you see all these thousands of people, and you just see them going and coming, you know, all that kind of thing. It's like, you wonder, Jesus, do they know you? How are all these people going to know? And, you know, do they know? Some of them may know, but what about the majority of them? How do they know? Will they know? Well, we find that in ourselves, the Father, we have a privileged position. The Father in heaven has revealed to us that Jesus is the truth. His Spirit, the Holy Spirit, has bore witness with our spirit. We are God's children. We're it. And there's no other revelation. There's no other there's no other way to God. There's no other way to eternity except through Jesus. And he said that, you know. So, and Jesus is telling these Pharisees and so on, the Father himself sent me, and he has witnessed of who I am. You have neither heard his voice nor seen his shape. You think about all the people clamoring for attention, to believe what they're telling you, whether it's political or social or, you know, there was a protest going on in the mall in D.C. There's about 100 people there. Major protest. But somebody's declaring some truth that they want people to believe. Well, we are declaring a truth that God himself, the creator of us, wants us to believe. And Jesus is telling these Pharisees, these religious people, you haven't heard his voice. You don't even know what he looks like. And you have not his word abiding in you. What he wrote to you, you don't even have it in you. It's not even close to your heart. And you believe, and I'm the one he sent you, and you don't believe me. That's quite an accusation. Verse 33, this is John 5, 33, then it goes to 36 to 39. I'll go on. What's that?
We've already read that.
All right. Ye sent unto John, and he bare witness unto the truth. But I have a greater witness than that of John, because John baptized, okay? He baptized, immersed him in water to repentance. And Jesus says, for the works the Father hath given me to finish, the same works that I do to bear witness of me that the Father has sent me. Okay, why are they accusing him? Pick up your bed and walk. You can't do that, Jesus. It's the Sabbath and he's not allowed to carry his bed. Well, what about the healing? Well, that's irrelevant. Let's not talk about healing. Let's talk about how you broke the law. he's telling him, you don't even hear what I'm saying. You don't even understand what the truth, that you're so blind to the truth that you think you have the truth, but you don't even come close to it. Search the scriptures, for in them you think you have eternal life, and they are they which testify of me. So go search the scriptures, and the scriptures will tell you about me. But the scriptures they're searching are laws that they have written, and the laws they have written say Jesus has broken the Sabbath. We got to do something about this guy. So if our faith is always accusing us, we don't have the right faith. I mean, our faith is flipped, because Jesus is not the accuser. Jesus is he's the wooer, the one who woos us into the kingdom. He's the one who reveals the truth, and he's the one who leads us in the path of righteousness. He doesn't beat us into subjection, He doesn't tie our hands and feet, and he frees our spirit. He frees us up to become that person he created us to be. Well, then Jesus asserts his deity. This is in John chapter 10. All right, we jump ahead to John chapter 10. This is a couple of months later, I guess. Then came the Jews around about Jesus and said to him, how long dost thou make us doubt? If thou be the Christ, tell us plainly. Okay. All right. So now they really want to know, right? No. They don't want to know. They don't really. Jesus answered them, I told you, and you believe not the works that I do in my Father's name. They bear witness of me. But ye believe not, because ye are not my sheep, as I said unto you. So what they want him to do is say that you're the Messiah and we can kill you legally. We want to legally kill you. So please tell us who you are. Then we can have every right to stone you to death. If somebody, I don't know, we'll go on. So instead of giving a direct yes, Jesus calls them to remember his earlier words, that he had been clearly teaching his eternal relationship with the Father. The problem was not that Jesus was somehow unclear. The problem was their unbelief. So whenever we are asking God to, make it clear to me, God, what is it that I need to do? Okay? That's the same thing you told me before. Well, it didn't work. Okay, tell me again. So the problem isn't that we didn't hear the word. The problem is our unbelief. You know, we don't want to do it that way. So we have that the Father's name bear witness of me, that but ye believe not because you're not my sheep. Okay? My sheep know my voice. I think that's the next verse. Verse 27. My sheep hear my voice, and I know them. So whenever we are practicing the presence of God, what we are doing is making ourselves aware of the one who is speaking to us. That's all. You know, is that our, who would be speaking to us? Ourselves, our past, our parent, a sibling, a grandparent, a neighbor, an aunt, an uncle, or, you know, whomever. Who's speaking to us? Who are we listening to? Well, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. After showing that unbelief lies at the heart of rejecting divine truth, Jesus describes the character of the saved sheep. Okay? So, after hearing, you know, the lie, okay, unbelief is at the heart of rejecting the divine truth. Jesus describes the characteristic of the saved sheep. Okay? We've got all the things that tell us about the lost, but what's the characteristic of those who believe? What is the characteristic of those who are following Christ? They hear his voice. And that's the obvious way of saying that we believe in him and obey him. But the language of obedience, follow me, does not immediately follow the language of hearing. So the relationship that we have with God, with Christ, is the link between hearing and following. So the relationship that we have with Jesus is the pivotal point of all things. So if we have a relationship with Jesus Christ, we can hear his voice. And if we hear his voice, we will follow. But we have to have the relationship to begin the hearing and the following. and whom he is speaking to, they don't believe him. Just give us some truth that we can kill you with. So the relationship of knowledge, and I know them, okay? So not only do we know Jesus, but he knows us. So when we go to Jesus, we just, Jesus, it's David, you know, I live at over at Laurelview now, you know, in the old folks' home. Yeah, I got a new address in the last couple of years. You up to date with all of those things? What's that? Oh, a new card in the Rolodex. That's it, yeah. Yeah. Well, I'm sure God has a computer. What's that? I used to have a Rolodex. Everybody that's in my Rolodex is long gone, so. So the relationship of knowledge is that not only do we know God, but he knows us. That should set off a little buzzer in our head. He knows me. In fact, he created me. In fact, he has a plan and a purpose for my life. In fact, if he knows me, created me, has a plan and purpose for my life, it stands the reason that I should listen for his voice and his insight, his knowledge, his wisdom. Well, the commentary talks about how that he doesn't want us to be robots, that we just obey. He calls us to a relationship, and in the relationship we have obedience. And the obedience is, it follows an expression of love. that I know that he loves me. So there are three promises of verse 28. And first is Jesus promises to give us eternal life. So my sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. And what happens whenever we follow Jesus? We have eternal life. It is not something we earn, but is a gift we receive on the basis of our relationship. Second, Jesus promises we shall never perish. Sound like those two go together, but they, you know, we have eternal life and we never perish. It's a divine promise on the character of and the revealed in the saving relationship that we shall not perish. So not only are we have eternal life, but we never perish from the relationship that I have with Jesus. Where I am, there you may be also. I will never perish from the relationship I have with Jesus. Nothing can separate us from the love of God. Third, Jesus promises we shall not be seized or snatched or carried off, plucked from his hand. And the word here is the word that a wolf would snatch a sheep or a lamb from the herd, the flock. Well, Jesus says nothing can snatch you from my presence. Can't be destructed. Then verse 29, the power of this protection is emphasized. It is not simply the promise of Jesus, as if that were not enough. It is the eternal will of the Father. So what we are talking about here is not only that is this a promise from Jesus, it is the will of God. Thus saith the Lord. Thus saith the Lord. What? It's what God has put in our heart. It is the will of God that we have eternal life, that we never perish from the relationship with Jesus, and that nothing can ever snatch us from his hand. This is the will of God. So this, my Father, which gave them to me, is greater than all, and no man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand. I and my Father are one. God and Jesus says, I and the Father agree that you can never be plucked from my hand. I and the Father agree that you shall never perish from our relationship. I and the Father agree that you have eternal life. So the eternal creator of the universe is able to keep his sheep from being seized by the evil one. Father, into your hands I commit myself, my spirit, my life. Then verse 31. Isn't that good? You know, like, I think, like, Jesus, help me to remember this. I need to remember this. I can never be separated. It is the will of the Heavenly Father, just as it was the will of God the Father, that Jesus be, before the foundation of the earth, that Jesus be the sacrifice for the sin of the world. It is the will of the Father that these things be established in our life, that we have eternal life. We shall never perish from the relationship that we have with Christ, and that nothing can ever pluck us, evil one, person, thing, place, can take us from God. It's impossible. That is the will of God. Then the Jews, after hearing these words, began to praise Jesus for his truth that he has given to them. After such wonderful truths, I think we'll stone him. many good works have I, then Jesus, you know, of all the good works that I've done, for which of these works do you stone me? Of all the good things I've done, what is the reason you are stoning me? They answered and said, for a good work, oh, nothing. We're not stoning you for any of your good works, but for blasphemy. And because thou, being a man, makest thyself God. Well, he makes himself God because he is God. Wake up. All right. Verse 34, Jesus answered them, is it not written in your law, you are gods? If he called them gods unto whom the word of God came, and the scriptures cannot be broken, say ye of him whom the Father has sacrificed or sanctified and sent into the world, thou blasphemy, because I said I am Son of God. If I do not the works of my Father, believe me not. So what is the works of the Father? You know, healing, the fulfilling of the scriptures, the speaking of the eternal word, you know. But if I do, though you believe me not, believe the works. If you don't want to believe what I'm telling you, look at the works that I'm doing, and who else has ever been able to do this? That you may know and believe that the Father is in me and I am in him. So the thing I look at for us to come away with is, as Jesus is saying to us who he is, and he is telling us that, number one, Jesus promises to give us eternal life. He has come to reveal the Father. And it is the will of the Father that you and I live forever with Christ. And that we believe that Jesus Christ has come to save us from our sins. And he says that he gives to us eternal life. Second, he promises that we will never perish, that we will never perish from the relationship that we have with Jesus, and that nothing shall ever be able to seize us, pluck us out of his hands. Amen? Jesus said that the sheep know his voice, and these guys, they didn't hear his voice. So, any thoughts, any questions? Mm-hmm. And what does he say? That's it. I'm special. You're my greatest child. You're my best child. You're my favorite child. And if God had a refrigerator, your picture would be on it. But it's something I will never perish. I never thought of it, you know, never thought of it as perish from the relationship. Never perish, you think of that, well, I'll never die, just like I have eternal life, and I'll never die, I'll never perish. But he's saying that I have eternal life, and I will never perish separated. I will never be separated from the relationship that I have with Jesus. I will never be separated from the relationship that I have with Jesus. So we want to make that relationship even better than what it is. My sheep know my voice, Jesus says. So we're listening to God in our hearts and minds. We're listening to what God is telling us and showing us in the scriptures, in the word, so that we're beginning to grow and allowing God to speak to us. Practicing the presence of God. So, Father, we thank you. We thank you, Lord Jesus, for your word. For you are the word made flesh and dwelt among us. It is the word that you speak to us in our hearts and minds that creates our faith, that gives us strength for each day. And God, we are aware of your presence, that nothing shall ever separate us from you. We will never, never be pulled or plucked. We will never fall away from that relationship we have with you. So, Lord, help us to remain faithful, to hear your voice, and to sense your spirit, to understand your word. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.